The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
The start of the week, some stocks across the world go from strength to strength on the back of positive developments regarding the COVID-19 vaccine that's being developed between Pfizer and BioNTech. And this lifted sentiment not just across major markets, but also across some economies in the ASEAN that have been hit and battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. Among them also Philippine markets, and the Philippines having some of the highest number of cases in the ASEAN region. Well, the news of that vaccine seems to have also lifted the PSCI there above that vaunted 7,000 level. Well, today on Across the ASEAN, I'm pleased to be joined by Mr. Rob Ramos, who's the head of trust and investments at RCBC. He joins us all the way from Manila to share his thoughts on whether or not this will be a better tomorrow for Philippine markets. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe out in Manila during these very uncertain times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a while.
It's been a while, JP, and it's good to be back here.
We have to start off with the vaccine that's being developed by Pfizer and BioNTech. Now, this is just one of hundreds of companies that are trying to develop vaccines. They did say, though, that they proved in this initial trial, and we have to stress it's an initial trial, that they elicited an immune response in more than 90% of their participants. Now, the Philippines, as we know, has been grappling with COVID-19 for a long time now. Just how big of a deal were those developments in terms of market sentiment? And are markets maybe getting ahead of themselves too much, given the fact that these are only initial trial results from one of hundreds of companies that are trying to develop a vaccine?
Well, you're right. The market has reacted quite positively. As you said, the market has jumped up from the 6.4, 6.5, 6.6 level. As of yesterday, it jumped to the 7,000 level. The good news was, as you said, news about the vaccine. And people were positive about that, thinking that this may end sooner, hopefully, rather than later. I do think that news about the U.S. election also helped prop up the markets. The expectation is that President-elect Biden would actually open up more trade to this area of the world. So people are assuming that, okay, you have two bits of good news, and that would help in terms of future cash flows for the corporations in the Philippine Stock Exchange Index. With regards to your second question, are we overreacting? In a sense, the PSEI is all about earnings, or in this case, future earnings. With the markets, with the economy still slowed down by COVID-19, yes, it may be a little premature to be celebrating at this point. A lot of the firms are not at the earning levels that they want. With our PEs at 18, 19, forward-looking, it's quite pricey at this point in time.
Right. And, you know, that's interesting because going back to, say, 8 years ago, the long-time thesis for Philippine stocks is that these high valuations, and to be honest, the PSE and a lot of these companies were trading at relatively high valuations vis-a-vis the rest of the ASEAN space. They said that the high valuations could be tolerated because of the medium-term growth story that saw the Philippines as one of the few economies in Asia with consistent plus 6% growth each quarter. Now, of course, that has been scuppered by the COVID-19 pandemic. We've seen these big contractions. Overall, do you think that now earnings and these high PE ratios are being placed under even more scrutiny than they were before, when it was tolerated because of those high GDP growth levels we saw in the past?
Definitely. With, of course, negative GDP growth, yeah, we're at negative 11.5 as of N3Q. You have to think if companies will be able to rake in their earnings to make investments in the stock market worthwhile. Obviously, I still believe that the Philippines is a very good story. You know, looking at our demographics, looking at our population, it's still there. But at this point in time, remember, the Philippines is very driven by consumption. And what did COVID do to the whole world? It actually impacted consumption the most. So that great growth story, once COVID is gone, will still be fantastic. But now that our consumption is held in check, I would be thinking twice about investing in the stock market, at least for the short term. Long term, I think my belief is it still holds. It's still a good place to be.
So if you think that it's not a good idea to be in the stock market in the short term, do you think that there might be a retracement then from the 7,000 level that the PSI recently breached?
At least for the short term, my personal view, and of course, this is my personal view, we are probably should be priced at the 6,400, 6,666, maybe even 6,700 level. That would probably be more realistic. This assumes that there's no change. We don't have a cure. Our containment processes are as is. I think that would probably be more fair in terms of valuations. And at this point, as you can see, people who have seen the markets hit 7,000, they're probably turning around and trying to take a profit, which is quite normal. Well, I do think that we'll probably go back to that 6,400, 6,700 range, at least for the short term.
First, let's meet to Mr. Rob Ramos, the head of trust and investments at RCBC out in Manila, here and across the ASEAN. We've spent a bit of time talking about earnings, Rob, and you mentioned earnings will be challenged for the most part. But if we do see light at the end of the tunnel and come out of this COVID-19 funk, for lack of a better term, which sectors do you think might prove to be most prepared for recovery? In contrast, which do you think might prove to be under fire for a longer time if and when we get to the end of the COVID-19 pandemic in the Philippines?
That's a good question, JP. Every time we talk, I think I would always say, you know, I've always been quite big on property, considering the demographics and the buying behavior of Filipinos. We do like malls. We are a growing population, so people invest in property. We had online gaming operations previously, so that was also driving property prices up. And as I said, there's people like malls, and there is a large mall traffic in the Philippines. That being said, with COVID-19 happening, that reverses my belief. Now, suddenly, people don't go to malls that often. People, although may choose to buy some properties, especially the ones who have cash to spare, you don't want to make that big a purchase at this time, when, at least for the everyman, when the growth story is, you know, not what it was. So property will probably be under fire a bit. On the reverse, consumer, non-discretionary, meaning all these that have, you know, that's food related, supermarket related, I think they will actually do very well at this recovery because people have focused on what are their core needs. So basically you need food, you need your usual stuff from the grocery, that's one. And also these tech firms, you know, these firms that suddenly are important, especially when companies need work from home capabilities and they are expanding that. So our telecom firms will probably do very well this coming year.
Just staying with property there, you did mention that the outlook for property might still be very uncertain, which is why you've reversed your outlook on them. Does that mean that property values in the Philippines, or especially in the Manila area, will remain under fire based on what you're seeing? Could see even more declines in the future?
Yes, I think property values will decrease a bit. And with that, maybe some people might find opportunities in various areas in the Philippines, especially the BGC area. But in terms of maybe the long term, and this assumes again that COVID has been solved and people are now free to roam again, I think I will say that the property sector in the Philippines still has much promise. But for the short/medium term, yes, it's a watch and see for me.
Fair enough. Now, the Philippines, of course, is seen as an emerging market. And this weaker U.S. dollar we've seen after the elections, Rob, some feel will actually favor emerging markets in the long term. But this basket of emerging markets, it spans continents, it counts hundreds of markets in it, actually. Will Philippine markets face any challenges in terms of being compared to its EM peers in attracting investments or at fund flows back to Philippine markets due to this weaker U.S. dollar? Does the Philippines stand a good chance, at least, of being able to benefit from this weaker greenback in attracting possible fund flows back?
I guess for that particular question, it's all about relative interest rates. Mm-hmm. If our interest rate is attractive, I think we'll be able to bring in some funds. And obviously, the growth story in the Philippines has attracted a lot of investments then, and it still continues to do so now. But of course, I think one of the things that we have woken up to is that a lot of foreign investors will be looking at other things aside from the growth story. Case in point, they'll look at how we handled the COVID situation versus the other ASEAN markets. They will look at how our GDP has grown or how much has fallen off during COVID, and they will compare us with other countries in the region and say, okay, these guys did a better job, and maybe they find that resilience more promising. So there will be more competition in terms of foreign inflows. I think one of the markets that I've seen that could, you know, garner more inflows is Vietnam, for two reasons. Their GDP was very promising to begin with, even before COVID. And second, they have been able to, at least if you look at the news feeds, they've been able to control COVID very, very well. So that brings promise. And if you were a foreign investor, you would look at Vietnam as a good place to put in your money. So we have to, of course, be able, from a Philippines standpoint, we have to show that we are worthy of that investment as well. I do think we are, but of course, now you see those other categories propping up other than the growth story. It's how we handled COVID.
Okay, and finally, Rob, given the fact that we might be seeing a weaker US dollar for the long term, it has also bolstered the Philippine peso back below 50 against the greenback. We haven't seen these levels actually since, I believe, this early parts of the Duterte administration, actually. Now, do you think this is a good thing long term for both the economy and markets to have the peso at these very strong levels?
In terms of, at least at this level, I think it's still okay. I'm not concerned at the 48 to 50 level. Actually, it's a good place to be, in my opinion. We still have a lot of flexibility in terms of exporting and importing. I think that's what I would say, JP.
Rob Ramos, Head of Trust Investments at RCBC. Thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to share with us your outlook on Philippine markets after the U.S. elections and also the recent developments with regards to COVID-19 vaccine candidates. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety during these very uncertain times. And we look forward to the next time we can have you back on the broadcast. Meanwhile, have a good Wednesday ahead, sir.
Pleasure, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.